As we turn to the word of the Lord, Psalm 142. David's thankfulness and prayer, recognizing how faithful God had been to him through many, many situations. And thank God that he is faithful to us as well. Psalm 142, verse 7, we'll read that together and thank the Lord for his word. So David is declaring, bring my soul out of prison. Read with me, please. That I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Praise God. Aren't you glad God deals bountifully? Amen. You deal bountifully with me. Thank you again for that generous gift. God bless you. But oh, when God deals bountifully, my word, it just opens up incredible possibilities. It brings forth the demonstration of his power. Now, David is in a bad spot here. The Bible talks about the caves that he was in, and he's fleeing. Javelins are being thrown at him, and he's dodging. And he's already been crowned king. Samuel has already anointed him. But yet he's running around here, Lord, deliver me from this prison. And some might say, that's God dealing bountifully? I'll pass. But no, we know what God is able to do. And David has already experienced much of how the Lord has provided for him. And thank God we know that story, and we know the dealing bountifully is going to continue, and we ask God to do that with us as well. Amen. You can be seated. Crowned, but crowded out. not a good picture here. He had Saul at his mercy twice. Twice he could have delivered death blows, you know, eliminating the problem, ending the pursuit, bringing himself out of the caves and out of prison, as he describes it. But he wouldn't step forward in that manner. He's asking the Lord, Lord, you bring me out of this prison. He's already a champion. Goliath is dead. His sword and so on are souvenirs of the victory that God gave to him. And David is a fugitive, though, in those circumstances. But he needed God to work. He knew that if he took things in his own hands, it was not going to be have the outcome that he desired. So he wanted to wait on God's deliverance. He said, I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to be surrounded by the righteous. In other words, I'm not going to be in this cave. I'm not going to be in this prison. I'm not going to be pursued relentlessly and having to dodge javelins the rest of my life. I'm going to be with the people of God. I'm going to be with the righteous. Praise God. And so he understands that the Lord will deal bountifully with me. And in another passage, Psalm 13 and 6, he knows that the Lord has dealt bountifully with him because he's an abundant God, a God who provides abundantly. I will sing unto the Lord. And wow, a lot of psalms credited to David, 73 of them, I think. Moses, some of them, Solomon, some of them, and so on. But this shepherd boy learned to worship God, learned that God has dealt bountifully with me, and therefore the song was in his heart. It was not going to be extinguished, not going to die out, not going to be replaced with mournful, regretful type things, even though he may have had moments like that. He knew how to worship. He knew how to sing. He knew how to lay aside kingly garments and dance before the Lord with all of his might. Amen. Even though there were some who were disdainful. Even though his wife, Michael, said, you really performed today. And she said it in a sarcastic manner. But there were repercussions for her because of her criticism of worship. God, help us to be free in our worship. Amen. And to exalt the Lord and be able to lift him up, because we've already been dealt bountifully by the Lord, and how he has blessed, how he has provided, how he has ministered. Praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We sang it. It kind of amused me that the lines were, you know, it's the same line about 8 times down the screen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise God. But that's not amusing from the standpoint of how God responds to that, how God likes to hear our praise, likes to hear our worship. And Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Thank God that we're able to lift him up. And how the psalmist is saying, don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his blessings. Don't forget how he's dealt bountifully with you. Don't forget that he's provided your need. Don't forget that he's answered your prayer. And he lists 5 specific benefits of the Lord providing for all that God would give. For he forgives all your iniquities. All of them? Oh, yes. Amen. He remembers all of them. I may not remember all of them. God help me. But God says, I remember that. I'll forgive it. I'll remember that. I'll take it away. I remember what you said, what you did, and all of those things. But thank God, all of our iniquities are forgiven. All of our diseases are healed. He redeems. Thank God. He is redemption. He redeems us from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and mercy. He satisfies with good things. Oh, man, what an incredible list. What an amazing list of benefits that I should not forget, but I should live in, I should walk in, I should rejoice in. Hallelujah. And know he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. And our youth is renewed like the eagles. You get to a point. You know, children perhaps are looking ahead. We have almost a daily countdown of a birthday that's coming up in October. We're reminded of it. We're told there's so many days left that they look forward to that birthday. We eventually reach an age where you don't want to be reminded of, oh, here's another one. Oh, man, we're moving along here pretty fast. But oh, thank God, the Lord is renewing our youth like the eagles. We mount up with wings like eagles. Hallelujah. We run and are not weary. We walk and not faint. Why? Because we wait upon the Lord. Because he's the one who ministers. He's the one that provides. You read on through Psalm 103 and get to the point where he measures distance from east to west. East to west. You really, it just continues. It just keeps going. I remember I answered a question one time on a quiz, and 180 degrees, there's the international date line and so on, and I mistakenly put 210 degrees west, and the instructor put a question mark by it and it marked it wrong because it changes. Goes from 180 and then back to, it just keeps going. It starts over. Praise God. Because you can't measure the distance between east and west. That's how far he has removed our transgressions. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. There is that power that he says, you're not going to be condemned again. You're not going to be brought down and covered over with your mistakes and your sins and your iniquities. I will remember your sins no more. Thank God. He removes them from us. He takes them from us. Thank God our transgressions are no longer a burden that we need to carry. But mercy is emphasized in Psalm 103. 103. The Lord is merciful. He's plenteous in mercy. There's the heaven above. So great is his mercy. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Four times he emphasizes the mercy that we live under. Thank God. That's who we serve. That's who deals with us bountifully. That's who provides for us again and again. Oh, my soul. David is talking to himself. Don't forget. Bless him. Hallelujah. Lift him up. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for his goodness. Psalm 116 and verse 7. Another psalmist knew about rest. Another psalmist rejoiced in the bountiful dealings of the Lord. It's not David this time, but it's somebody else who's experienced God. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Praise God. I'm thankful we can join David. I'm thankful we can join this other psalmist. I'm thankful we can declare it as well. I'm going to go back to the rest that the Lord has provided for me, the rest that he called me to, the rest that he said, if I labor, I can exchange it for his rest and his blessing. Oh, my soul, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Hallelujah. Thank God that he provides for us. Now, another mention in Psalm 103, verse 10 in particular, he has not dealt with us after our sins. Oh, I'm thankful that he did not bring justice and judgment to us. If we got what we deserved, it would be harsh. It would be judgment. It would be difficult. But thank God he gave us what we didn't deserve. There is that forgiveness. There is that power. There is that blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He has dealt bountifully. You know, we like to make deals, don't we? You make a deal with God. I remember Brother Carnley telling us about being a paratrooper in World War II and the Battle of the Bulge and so on. The conversion that he experienced there. Of course, his prayer that followed him there. But how he recognized that the Lord could minister to him and provide for him, wayward and away from God, but recognizing the Lord could be there. Thank God he is the Christ of every crisis, no matter what it is, a foxhole in a battle or a ship or a plane or whatever the circumstance might be. I'm thankful we can look to the Christ who is there to minister in every crisis. But we got to make sure we keep our end of the deal. Easy to forget. And that's why the psalmist said, forget not all of his benefits. Now, Jesus warned us, Luke 21 and 34, thinking about this as I reflected on the prophecies that we're seeing come to pass right before our eyes. It's happening right now. The things that Peter wrote about in 2 Peter chapter 3. And how that there would be scoffers in the last days that would mock and say, where is the promise of his coming? We've heard this since the fathers have passed on. It's been talked about. But God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank God for a repentance experience. Thank God for a repentant attitude that keeps us in the presence of God, where we don't step back and feel like we're almighty and we're going to direct ourselves, we're going to make our own decisions. No, I put myself in God's hands. And I rely upon what he desires to bring into my life. But notice in Luke 21 and 34, the Lord is saying, don't be overcharged. I don't like to be overcharged. I check the receipt. Get charged something extra on the menu. I want to make sure we straighten that out. Being overcharged is not pleasant. But what Jesus is talking about here is don't be loaded down. Don't be don't have extra upon yourself. And he gets specific here about the abundance and the bountiful aspects that we might bring on ourselves. He talks about surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Now, let's expand those terms. We know there's specifics as far as those words are concerned, but let's talk about the effect of those things. Surfeiting has to do with appetites. It has to do with desires. And those things can definitely take you away from the plan of God in your life. Self-indulgence, where there is just too much. And our world thrives on entertainment. Easy to spend hours on entertainment. Easy to spend hours on the computer. And it's so easy to slip into the wrong sites. In fact, the advertisers are trained. They're professionals. They work hours and hours in presenting it the right way to catch your eye, to catch your interest. Don't think that that's casual. Don't think that that's just something, oh, well, you know, what is this? And you click on the wrong thing. God help us not to be overcharged in these areas. Amen. But to recognize I need the power of the Lord, and I need to deny self. I need to crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts and be able to move into the realm of desire for the divine. The scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Thank God we can still have that focus. We can still have that dimension of the Lord opening up his power and his blessing for us as we delight ourselves in him, in his presence, in his word, in the people of God. Hallelujah. And we recognize this is what God has brought me into. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, and I'm going to delight in all that he has provided. Praise God. And I'm going to move in the realm that he has for me, because he'll give me the desires of my heart, where I have more of his goodness and more of my family serving him and more that he desires to bring into the church. Hallelujah. And we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Praise God. Drunkenness. No way I'm going to get involved in that. But think about the effects now. Think about the situation that is there when a drunkenness it causes a loss of balance. It causes a delay of reaction time. That's why drunk driving is such a scourge. It's such a problem, because it's the innocent who are killed in the traffic accidents and so on. And I can remember as a kid, a lot of alcohol I was raised around. And 4th of July, you know, we had the little firecrackers, a little, what in the world were they called, zebras or I can't remember. But then we had the big ones too. And so this fella, Tom, we were out on the street, and the beach is there. He's going to show us how to take care of one of these big firecrackers, M80 seal salute. It was a big one. And he had his lighter out, and he's standing there kind of weaving, and us little kids are just standing there watching him, and he lit the fuse. And the fuse is sparkling and spitting, and he's trying to hand his lighter to us. And he's got the firecracker in his other hand. We ran. We're not going to stand there. Boom. He stands there and looks at his hands and goes back into the house for another drink. That's the problem with the drunkenness, not aware of the danger, not aware of the consequences, not aware of what can happen and the problems that's there, the loss of inhibition. Not living by guidelines, drugged and drugged down the wrong way. That's what Jesus was warning about. Don't let yourself be taken down the wrong path. Don't go the wrong way. Amen. Thank God that there's that recognition. I'm not going to allow myself to be caught unaware of what God is warning me about. Cares of this life? Worldly worries, focusing on finance rather than focusing on the Father and the faith that he puts in our hearts. Money becoming more important than his majesty. Oh, God, help us to understand the cares of this life. The Lord already knows about it. Jesus said, you consider the ravens, consider the lilies. Why consider those things? Because God provides for them. God protects them. You're worth far more. You are worth far more. Hear what Jesus is trying to say to you today. You are worth far more than any of those things. And your Father knows you have need of these things. Oh, that our faith could come back to where we focus on all that the Lord has said. He will provide. I know you've got to make sacrifices for success, but there are some things you better not sacrifice. You better not sacrifice your faith. You better not sacrifice your family. You better not sacrifice your walk with God. God, help us to understand. Jesus is saying, don't be overcharged with the cares of this life. Don't let yourself be moved into the realm of materialism where that is more important than your walk with God. Oh, no, I will rejoice forever because I recognize I'm going to put the Lord first and foremost in my life. I'm going to lift Him up in all that I say and I do. Thank God that He's there to minister to us. Praise God. Someone said there's a problem when we are so aggressive at pursuing money and so passive about pursuing the presence of God. Something wrong there. God, help us to turn it around where we're aggressive in pursuing the presence of God and passive about the things that are the cares of this life, because we know our God is going to take care of us. Jesus said, take heed, be on guard. Amen. Thank the Lord that we are the ones that are to be on watch. I thank God for you and your prayers. I thank God for you and your love. But I understand it's got to be me who is calling on the Lord. I understand it's got to be me who is reaching out to Him. Me who is obeying the word of the Lord. Me, myself, who is in the place where I am subjected and yielded to the Lord. Praise God. Because the Lord said that day is going to come. Oh, hallelujah. And we're seeing the signs around us now in a measure we've never seen before. And the Lord is about to come. Don't let that day come upon you unawares. Don't be overcharged. Don't be in the place where there's an abundance. Oh, the devil is going to make sure you're distracted. The devil is going to make sure you've got lots of opportunities to look at something else. But the Lord is saying, don't be caught unawares. Be ready. You're going to stand before the sun. Jesus is going to return. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus told about the ground of a certain rich man. Now, he already had much. His ground was plentiful. It was bountiful. In fact, his crops were beyond what he was able to care for. And he's looking at his resources. He's looking at his properties. He's looking at his holdings. And he said, I'm gonna tear down and I'm gonna build bigger barns. And then all my fruits and all of my goods will be stored. Now, there's nothing wrong with wealth. Nothing, not condemning that. Solomon was wealthy. David was wealthy. All of those, but they put God in the place where he had first place. The wrong perspective comes when the man says, I've got much goods laid up for many years. Soul? You know, not the way David is saying it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, forget not all of his benefits. No, he's saying, soul, take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. It's all good. It's all going to be okay. That was his perspective. What was God's perspective? You fool. Not faithful. Not well done. Not good and faithful servant. You fool. And before that, he said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That's not what a man's life consists of. And that's why he told this parable. not the possessions. No, take heed and beware. A man is not rich towards God. He's got treasure for himself. He's not recognizing where he needs to be in the priorities of his life. He's not seeing what God has in store for him. That's not the way to deal. Oh, no. The best deal. Here's the best deal. Don't deal. Let God have his way. Let God be in charge. Let God be the one who provides. Hallelujah. Yield to the Lord and let him come forth. The Lord says, come, let us reason together. Come on, come and reason with me. What an amazing invitation. What an incredible thing. You know, the evolutionists will argue about where life came from. What about all the properties on the table of elements? My card said pop is platinum, PT and the number and so on. And that reminded me, what explanation do they have of the 100+ elements that are just found? And they're finding more. That how did that come there? How is it that when you get your telescope out or your binoculars, you see the bright planet in the sky and you look and it's Jupiter, and there's usually four moons that you can see even with 10 power binoculars. You usually see four moons and they're all in a line. They're not scattered all over the place. They're in a line. How come? How come the rings of Saturn are at a tilt? And why, you know, there's no explanation of those things that they give, but they come out with ridiculous, even stupid things about how our life originated here in this world. But no explanations about all the, and that's just in our solar system. That's just in a small, tiny place we call the solar system. And that there's galaxies and the universe that God spoke into existence and designed it to function exactly the way that he has said. Come, let us reason together. Oh, way beyond me. But yet, look at the invitation. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Praise God. White as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh my. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. Come, let us reason. Now, remember when the roof was getting torn off and that lame man and his four friends are up there and they lower him down? That desperation will cause you to do a lot of things. I hope you're desperate for the presence of God and not for the things of this world. Don't be overcharged with all of that garbage. Be thirsty for the things of the Lord. Be hungry for the things of God. Amen. Paralyzed man was forgiven. And they're thinking, who can forgive sins but God? Now that's good thinking, because that's who is standing there. That's who's talking to them. That's who's working the miracles. But the Lord said, what? Reason ye in your hearts. Is it easier to say you're forgiven or rise up and walk? Come on, reason it out. What's easier to say? But so that you know the power of the Son of Man to forgive, rise up and walk. Take up your bed. And before their startled eyes, the man stood up. They'd never seen him walk. They'd never seen him stand on his own two feet. And he gathers up his bed, and out he goes. Amen. And those four friends up there looking down through the hole, They jumped off of that roof. They patted him on the back. They lifted him up with great hugs. They rejoiced in Jehovah God and what he was able to do. Praise God. Come on, I'm not reading into the Word of God. You would have done that if you had a friend who was that you had to carry around and involve him in all of your activities as you're growing up as young men, and thankful to have him there and laugh at his wit and shed tears with him when his birthday's come and he's still not able to walk. Oh yeah, you would rejoice. Thank God that the Lord has that kind of power to make a difference in our lives today. Oh no, I'm not going to deal with the Lord. I'm not going to say, God, do this and I'll do that. I'm going to say, God, have your way. God, you lead me. God, you direct me. God, you provide. Hallelujah. Thank God that he has provided the double cure, the forgiveness and the healing that he brings forth. Talk about deal bountifully. Psalm 119, verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, and then I'll live and I'll keep your word. Praise God. Thank the Lord for the singing and the resting that we can have in the Lord and how he would provide and bless in an amazing way. Amen. The Lord gave abundantly. You know, he talked about his word. He that sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. He that sows abundantly is going to reap abundantly. How did the Lord sow? In terms of his blood. How did he sow? In terms of giving himself. He sowed abundantly. Thank God. And he's reaping abundantly. And you and I are part of that reaping. Thank God. And there's more that the Lord wants to give. So we're going to sow abundantly with our testimony, with the Word of God. We're going to teach. We're going to share. We're going to let others know what God is able to do. Praise God, because he is able to deal abundantly. I am come that they might have life. And what kind of life? What measure of life? Abundant. Abundant. The contrast. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he'll always have a distraction for you. He'll always have an offer for you. He'll always have an alternative for you. But oh, if we can hear the Lord declare, I am come that they may have life. The Greek in that instance means superabundant. Excessive, beyond, praise God. And thank the Lord, that's what we're able to find in him. And Paul says, now unto him that is able to do. You know what he can do? We've seen what he can do. We know what he can do. Praise God. He's demonstrated it on our behalf again and again. Thank God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the God we serve. That's the God we call upon. That's the God we recognize. Hallelujah. And oh, thank God, what we think, what we ask, he's able to go way beyond that, because he deals bountifully. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deliverance for the captives, healing for the brokenhearted, recovering of sight to the blind, the liberty for them that are bruised. It's amazing how he didn't just stop at one point and say, this is what I'm going to do. No, he just kept on going, because that was the prophecy. He was reading from Isaiah 61. He wasn't going to cut it short. He wasn't going to eliminate any of the aspects. No, in fact, he goes beyond. He deals bountifully. Praise God. And thank the Lord, we are the beneficiaries of all that he would give to us and provide. Can you stand with me now, please? Oh, what a great God. Now remember, the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. There's going to be the distractions. There's going to be the, you know, the offers that would seem like it's going to work. Brother Mike talked about the fig leaf aprons that Adam and Eve thought were going to be adequate, the best that they could do. The best that man can do is not adequate. It's not sufficient. It's not going to do the job. The coats of skins that the Lord clothed them with. I thought about that clothing, Brother Mike. The clothing of his presence, the clothing of his glory, the clothing of righteousness. Praise God. And how it's going to last for eternity. Their garments didn't wear out for 40 years. How about eternity? Praise God. Not going to change, not going to wear out. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. Praise God. But I need to be covered by his blood. I need to be clothed with his presence, with his spirit. I need to make sure I'm walking in the realm that he has for me, not making the mistakes that the enemy wants to drag me into. No, putting him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things? All? Is that what he said? Matthew 6:33. It's exactly what he said. I'm going to seek him first because he knows how to deal bountifully with me. He knows how to deal bountifully with you. Praise God. Because every one of us here today, every one of us have felt that and known it. Praise God. Amen. And Amaris may not be able to cognitively function in that, but God has dealt bountifully with her, even as a small child. God has, because she's an answer to prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's come and worship him here for a bit. Let's come and rejoice in his presence. Hallelujah. Let's come without the idea of a deal. I'm going to deal with the divine. No, I'm just going to yield to the divine. I'm just going to commit myself to him who is all powerful. Hallelujah. I'm going to determine to serve him with all of my heart and not step aside, not turn back, not go another direction. Oh, no. Thank God. Thank God. Can we love him and praise him here together now?